talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison, Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM, and Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're getting right to the front lines of history in the making. We'll start with Pennsylvania. There's a Senate race going on in Pennsylvania. And this is digging a little bit into the weeds, but it's important that we talk about this because depending on who wins Pennsylvania, that could mean who wins, who controls the U.S. Senate. In other words, does Chuck Schumer stay on as majority leader or does Moscow Mitch come in? And if Moscow Mitch comes in, that's the end of Joe Biden's agenda. He's come right out and said that. It doesn't matter if they damage the United States, injure the United States, injure our allies, Moscow Mitch will shut it down. The significance of Pennsylvania is that they have a fellow named Pat Toomey there. He's a Republican. He claims that he's a moderate. He's not. It's no good. I'm glad he's on his way out. He retired. But Pennsylvania is a purple state, and we have a great, great candidate, John Fetterman, really a great candidate, and excellent chances of winning. The only headwind for him that he's going into is that there's a Democratic president in the White House, and if you look at it historically, that means that more likely than not, the people vote a little bit more Republican for Congress, for House of Representatives and Senate seats. It's not graven in stone. In 1998, Bill Clinton picked up seats even though he was president, and in 2004, George W. Bush picked up seats even though he was president. So it's not graven in stone, but we're taking this race very seriously. What I want to get into is a strange thing that just happened in the counting of the Republican primary votes. Now, the two major Republican candidates, one is Mehmet Oz. You know him as Dr. Oz. His name is Mehmet Oz because his parents were born in Turkey. He was born in the United States when his father came over as a doctor. But he is very, very close to Turkey. In fact, so close that he served in the Turkish military. That's right. As an American citizen, he served in the Turkish military and did not serve in our military. He also votes in Turkey. Yeah, that's right. Turkey lets people of Turkish descent around the world vote in their elections. Mehmet Oz voted recently in a Turkish election and did not vote in a United States election. This guy, frankly, has no business being in the U.S. Senate. For one thing, his residence right now is in New Jersey. And he just bought a place in Pennsylvania. His ties are in Turkey, and his ties, if he has any American ties, they're in New Jersey, and they also obviously are on television as Mehmet Oz. It's a popular show. He was running against a guy named David McCormick, or he is running against him. David McCormick is a finance guy, venture capital, hedge fund guy, a troll. There are plenty of those kind of folks in the Senate, in the Congress, in the leadership of this country. We don't need another one. Very bland guy. But for some reason, the Republican primary has come down to the wire. And the last count, there were about 902 votes separating them. And each one of them had something like 480,000 and then more to be counted. So let's call it close to 1 million votes. And it's going to be separated by 902 votes. 902 votes. So there is an automatic recount going on. And the significance of it is who ends up facing John Fetterman. First of all, who can John Fetterman beat more easily? In my opinion, he can beat either one of them. Neither one of them is any good. One's a very bland hedge fund venture capital troll. The other one served in the Turkish military, votes in Turkish elections, did not serve in the United States military, does not vote, or at least when he voted in the Turkish election, he didn't vote in the U.S. election. And the guy is very close to Erdogan of Turkey. And Erdogan of Turkey is the guy who is interfering with Sweden and Finland coming into NATO. There's a fellow, there's a Turkish refugee living right now in Pennsylvania whom Erdogan wants to extradite and torture and in jail. Remember something, Turkey was the seat of the Ottoman Empire that spent centuries attacking Europe. And we don't want the senator from Pennsylvania anywhere near Erdogan of Turkey. We don't want him near Erdogan in Turkey. And Mehmet Oz is a friend of Erdogan's. So could Fetterman beat him? Yeah, I think pretty handily. Could he beat the hedge fund troll, McCormick? Yeah, I think pretty handily. But, you know, there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. So it matters who wins this primary. Now, Mehmet Oz did better on same-day voting, and McCormick swamped him in mail-in voting. And there were a lot of mail-in votes left uncounted, and people were thinking that McCormick could overtake Mehmet Oz's 902-vote margin when they're counted. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court just stopped the counting of a lot of those votes. The U.S. Supreme Court stuck its nose in Pennsylvania. Now, why did they stick their nose in Pennsylvania? Because thousands of these ballots were people who did not put a date on them when they signed them. And those of you out there who vote absentee, don't be lazy. Read the instructions. If it says put a date, put a date. If it says have your ballot witness, have your wife or your partner, whoever you're with, or somebody witness it. Don't just say, oh, well, what the heck? Only one of us has. Follow the instructions. Anyway, thousands of them that were counted so far. It went to court. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals, federal court sits in Philadelphia, said, nah, if they were received by election day, which is the only legal requirement, they had to have been mailed before election day. That means that it doesn't matter whether the date's on them or not, because they were received in time. So whether they were dated a week before or 2 weeks before doesn't make any difference. You know, it's just simple logic. If it came by election day, it had to have been signed before election day. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court, Alito, now this Alito is a right-wing guy, and I'm tired of Alito. Alito overturned it. They have what's called the shadow docket. They just do whatever they want, and they don't have to file an opinion. And they go, okay, no, I overturned that. I don't overturn that. They did that in the original Texas abortion case. They do this with very, very important subjects. Very important subjects. You know, and that's what they did here. If that stands, then I think it's very unlikely that David McCormick can win this thing, because he's not going to overcome 902 votes without counting a lot of these absentee ballots. And he may not overturn it anyway. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that with Alito's decision, they essentially handing it to Mehmet Oz, who served in the Turkish military, votes in Turkey, very close to Erdogan. Now, did Alito do that because he likes Mehmet Oz? I don't know. But I don't really care. The one escape route, you want a legal escape route? I'll give you a legal escape route. The one legal escape route is, because there's no opinion, we don't know, but it may have been that Alito and some of the conservative justices didn't like the fact that it was a federal court. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia is a federal court, was interfering in state elections. So they just said, no, you can't do that. Thereby themselves interfering in a state election. However, David McCormick filed a suit in state court to let these ballots be counted. State court. Now, if the state judges permit them to be counted on the very obvious argument that, hey, they were received on time, therefore they had to have been dated on time because they were received on time. And it's, why do you care whether they were mailed 3 days before, 5 days before, 2 weeks before, and don't have a date, as long as they were received on time? If the state court accepts that, I find it very hard to see how the U.S. Supreme Court goes, no, I'm not even going to pay any attention to what the state court says about its own state laws. I'm hoping that Alito is being very narrow here, and that that right-wing majority is being very narrow and is going, well, you know, we don't want federal courts interfering. Stay tuned, because whoever John Fetterman faces depends on this. Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Now that Michael Sussman has been acquitted, Matt, isn't it time for Merrick Garland to step up and shut this nonsense down? From what I understand, he has the power to shut this stupid investigation down and maybe show that he's got a little bit of a backbone. I don't know, in the next 10, 12 days, once this stuff from January 6th is televised, I don't know how that's going to help, but hopefully he steps up at that point too. But this Durham thing was a joke right from the beginning.
Yeah. We're going to a break, Dick. Thanks for calling in. We're going to be getting to that subject later in the show. I appreciate your calling in with your thoughts, and I will respond to them at that time. Now, to get back to Pennsylvania, I'm following all these Senate races very carefully, because there are about 8 or 9 of them around the country that are realistically going to determine who controls the Senate. And Pennsylvania is a biggie. And so is Wisconsin a biggie. Get behind one of our great Democratic candidates. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. The gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there is a big criminal law decision pending in Milwaukee that's going to be announced probably mid-morning, probably right after this show is over. And that's why I want to raise it now, because no one has a crystal ball. We don't know what's going to happen, but let me lay out the facts. It's a very important and disturbing case. In Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, suburb of Milwaukee, part of Milwaukee County, just to the west of the city of Milwaukee, there was a police officer named Joseph Mensah, M-E-N-S-A-H. And Officer Mensah shot 3 people and killed them within a relatively short period of time, several years. And one of them, at the very end, one of them was a fellow named Jay Anderson Jr., who is sleeping in his car. And Joseph Mensah walked up to the car, and he claimed that Jay Anderson had no gun. Jay Anderson was not threatening anybody who was sleeping in his car. And Joseph Mensah shot him and killed him. Shot him and killed him. Said something about, well, when he woke up, you know, I momentarily couldn't see his hands, or something of that nature. Now, there was an investigation. The prosecutors determined not to charge him. He ultimately left the force. He was, believe it or not, he was actually given a lot of money to leave the force, instead of just being fired. And I believe he got picked up out in the department, hired, it may have been the sheriff's department, but out in Waukesha County. But this is a guy that shot 3 people. Now, police officers have among the toughest jobs in the world, and I can't imagine the danger of walking up, say, to a car. You pull them over on a highway out in a, an unpopulated sort of area. It takes a lot of guts. But at the same time, there is a line that can be crossed, and in this case, the question is, was it crossed? You can't have a guy just sleeping in his car. Guy comes up and shoots him. I mean, you know, and the guy has no weapon. Very similar, quite frankly, although not the sleeping part, to Jacob Blake getting into his car with his 3 kids in the background, having violated a police order to stop. He should have stopped, I agree. And then pumped 7 shots into his back and paralyzing the rest of his life. Enough's enough. And the fact is that the populace, the voters, are not reacting to this. They're apparently willing to pay millions and millions of dollars in settlements, millions of dollars. Big portion of city budgets can go to settlements for this kind of thing. And unless there's a change in the culture with good training, so that an officer absolutely has to be certain that he himself is not in danger and absolutely has to be able to use deadly force. I'm very, very supportive of that. But if there's a couple of people who go up and just shoot a guy while he's sleeping in his car, that's a different story. Now, what is the truth? What happened here? Well, after the district attorneys and the various prosecutors looked at this, decided not to, to charge, and, you know, it's a very, very tough decision. We have excellent prosecutors. The family used what's called a John Doe proceeding to present it to a Milwaukee County judge to have the judge take a look at it, even though it wasn't prosecuted. And that's an innovation we have in Wisconsin. They don't have it in every state, but it's a very good innovation because it says, okay, if somehow somebody made a mistake on not charging or charging or whatever, you can go in front of a judge and have the judge take a second look at it. Well, this judge was Glenn Yamahiro, whom I know personally. He's a very good judge. And Glenn Yamahiro looked at this and he said, no, I think there is probable cause to believe that Joseph Mensa committed a criminal act in shooting a sleeping man in his car. Glenn Yamahiro said that. Now, what do you do then? Glenn Yamahiro is a judge. He's not a prosecutor. So he appointed two special prosecutors. One of them is a lawyer named Scott Hansen, whom I know well, is an excellent lawyer, very good lawyer. And the other one is the La Crosse County District Attorney, Tim Grenke. I do not know him, but I understand he has a good reputation. And they together did a review of the case. They did a review of what witnesses said. They did a review of all the available evidence. And they will announce this morning on whether or not Joseph Mensa should be prosecuted for killing J. Anderson Jr. Now, why are they doing all this when Glenn Yamahiro, the judge, already said there was probable cause to believe that Officer Mensa had done a bad thing here? That's because probable cause is the standard by which you can bring a criminal action, but you have to win it by convincing a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that that was a criminal act. So these two experienced lawyers, Scott Hansen and the district attorney of La Crosse, Tim Grenke, have been retained to make a separate judgment. Can this case be decided beyond a reasonable doubt by a jury? And that's what they are going to announce mid-morning today. I'm glad this is happening. Frankly, with Jacob Blake, that review that was done by state prosecutors and this one and that one, I think I have no confidence in that. If Jacob Blake had been presented to two lawyers of the caliber of Scott Hansen and Tim Grenke, and there's many lawyers like that around the state. Everybody likes to make lawyer jokes. They laugh at it. But everybody loves his lawyer when he needs his lawyer. You know, if you need a lawyer, suddenly all the lawyer jokes go out the window. Believe me. So, anyway, that's what's happening with Joseph Mensa. Now, if they say that not only is there probable cause to believe that Joseph Mensa committed a crime in killing this man sleeping in his car, but that can be proved beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury, then the question is, who does the prosecution? That'll be up to Glenn Yamahiro, and it may very well be that he will appoint these same lawyers, and especially the district attorney, Tim Grenke, an experienced prosecutor himself, to bring the case. Although there's nothing to stop him from also adding Scott Hansen or anybody else he wants to that team. Now, what is, how does this business of probable cause and reasonable doubt play in? You remember Comey and you remember Mueller, and they, Mueller took a dive on the Russia investigation, and he basically said there was probable cause to believe that that Donald Trump had obstructed inquiry into it, which is a felony, but that he couldn't prove beyond a reasonable doubt. That's a lot of baloney. If a prosecutor thinks there's probable cause to believe that something happened, there'd have to be an extraordinary reason, especially at the profile of what Mueller did, to say, okay, but he takes a pass. He gets a pass. No problem. Well, plenty of problem. Mueller was a Republican. He took a dive. He took a dive, and he deliberately did not follow up on Russia involvement with Trump all over the place. Now, this is not the Mueller investigation. I get it. This is in Milwaukee County, Joseph Mensah. But it's important for you to know what goes on legally when people make these decisions. So it's not the end of the line if a prosecutor says, I'm not going to prosecute something. At least in Wisconsin, we have a John Doe proceeding. And in a John Doe proceeding, a good judge like Glenn Yamahiro can say, hey, no way, Jose. We're going to look at this a little farther. We're going to have a couple of experienced guys look at this thing. So stand by for mid-morning announcement today. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was an amazing and a terrific jury verdict that just came down yesterday. We had one caller on it, Dick of Madison, raise it. It's an important topic, and that is the trial of Michael Sussman, and a jury acquitted him of the charge, the baseless charge that he, quote, lied to the FBI, end quote, by giving them information on Donald Trump's ties to Russia. So let's unpack that a little bit. Who's Michael Sussman? What's this all about? Well, Michael Sussman is a lawyer, and he, among other clients, he has done work for Hillary Clinton's campaign. He's a Democratic lawyer. And during the 2016 election, everybody on the inside knew of Trump's ties to Russia, knew that he had been funded by Russia for a long time. And throughout the campaign, he said favorable things about Russia. Remember that one public speech he gave? I think it was in a debate where he said, Russia, if you're listening, I hope you can find Hillary Clinton's emails. Remember that? You know, tacking into Hillary Clinton's emails. And it was his own campaign team that had helped in doing that. And this guy had Russia written all over him. He has Putin lover written all over him. And remember, during the campaign, Putin 2 years before it had already gone into Crimea, just like he's gone into the rest of Ukraine now, and murdered people and did, he's a murderer, genocidal sadist. And Trump sucked up to him. Even worse, Trump put in as the chairman of his campaign, Paul Manafort. Now, Paul Manafort was getting money from the Russian candidate, the Russian-backed candidate to be president of Ukraine. In other words, advising them on how a Russian mole could get in and run Ukraine and then turn Ukraine over to Russia. Paul Manafort. And then he was convicted, and then Trump pardoned him. Well, Paul Manafort did something else that you may not remember. At the Republican convention that summer, they had a platform. It was the last platform they've ever had, because Moscow Mitch said, well, we don't have any more platforms because people use it to attack us, so we're not going to tell you what we're going to do. However, that summer, they had a platform. And in the platform, they had a plank on Ukraine. And just like historically in the Democratic and the Republican parties, everybody understood that Russia was our adversary. The Russian people are not our enemy, but the Russian communist state was our enemy, and now the Russian mafia are our enemy. In fact, right now, Russian commies simply became Russian mafia. I mean, the same thing. Murderers, thieves, and so forth. In any event, Manafort had them change the platform right that summer to be more pro-Russian. I remember seeing that and commenting on it, and everybody goes, oh, yawn. yawn, it's just a platform. Well, no, it's not just a platform. There were Russian fingerprints all over Trump and all over his campaign. Well, so Michael Sussman goes to the FBI and he says, we have some information of Trump's ties to Russia. And one of the things we've heard, and it wasn't the only thing he said to him, but one of the things we've heard is that there is a connection between Trump and a Russian bank. And we're not vouching for it, but it's a tip you might want to follow up on. And the FBI already knew that they were investigating Trump on Russia. Remember, Comey knew it, and yet he nevertheless went public and said they were investigating Hillary Clinton for her emails. Remember her server? That tipped the election, and yet at the same time he was investigating Trump and didn't say anything. That cost the election. That cost us Trump. The FBI said, thank you very much. It turned out the New York Times was about to run with the story. The FBI called up the New York Times and said, please don't run it. We're investigating it. And then what happened was they investigated it and they said, well, no, there's not a connection between the Trump campaign and that particular bank. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. And they told the New York Times that. And the New York Times then published an article saying that as much as we are against Trump, this particular bank does not have a connection with Trump. It was very good journalism. It was good investigation by the FBI. Sussman said, thank you very much. On the basis of that, this guy Durham, this special counsel John Durham, brought a criminal action against Michael Sussman for lying to the FBI to try to throw sand in everybody's eyes and obfuscate the problem that Trump had about Russia. Because it was, okay, well, he wasn't tied to this bank, so therefore what? He wasn't pro-Putin. He hadn't been funded by Putin for 15, 20 years, according to his own son. No. That wasn't it at all. What happened was Bob Barr, you remember during the Trump administration, was the attorney general. Remember crooked Bob Barr and lying Mike Pompeo? Crooked William Barr and lying Mike Pompeo? Two pieces of work. Well, Barr knew that on the way out, this might be the end of the issue. So he appointed John Durham as special counsel to the Justice Department to investigate Hillary Clinton and Michael Sussman. The whole purpose of it was a fake. The whole purpose of it was to try to say this Russian business, there's nothing there. There were Russian fingerprints all over the place, not just Manafort, not just the funding of the Trump enterprises from Russian oligarchs, and whether they used Deutsche Bank or whether they used the Bank of Cyprus as opposed to a Russian bank doesn't make a darn bit of difference. Well, when Biden came in, I urged fire, you know, Biden and now Merrick Garland run the Justice Department, fire this guy. Put in another prosecutor to wind up the case, have somebody who is not a zealot, who is simply trying to throw sand in everybody's eyes on Russia. And they decided not to do it. And I think they decided not to do it because they thought that it would give a bad appearance. I got news for you. If the shoe's on the other foot and Trump just got in and Biden had Trump investigated, that guy would have been canned immediately. Are you kidding me? Canned immediately. But no, no, we let this go on for 3 years, paying this guy. And then they get up on their hind legs in front of a jury, a federal jury, and they say Sussman committed the felony of obstruction and lying to the FBI because Sussman should have known that there was no connection between that bank and Trump. And Sussman did not tell them that he represented Hillary Clinton's campaign. Well, duh. First of all, Sussman represents a lot of people, and Sussman also represents himself and is a concerned citizen, and I'm the same way. If I had information like that, I'd tell the FBI that. And Sussman said, we're not vouching for this, but this is something I know you're doing other investigations you might want to look at. They looked at it, said for that particular bank, there was nothing there. And then they told the FBI they could go ahead, or the New York Times, they could publish the story. All of this was designed by Crooked William Barr and this John Durham to give the appearance of controversy over whether Trump was in fact just Lily White on Russia. Trump was just Lily White on Russia. Let's look at the let's look at the record here. Eric Trump, his son, told the journalist that they got money from Russian oligarchs for a long time because the New York banks cut them off because they'd gone bankrupt six times. Not personally bankrupt, but bankrupt in their businesses. Number two, the CIA was listening in on Russian conversations. They always do. And the other side listens in on ours. You can listen in with the right equipment to a phone call from a mile away through 20 walls. And they hear the Russian ambassador and Russian people talking to a guy who has terrific English. In fact, he's an American. And they're talking about, don't worry what Obama does, this is in 2016, on sanctions against Russia for going to Crimea, because we're on your side and we will yank the sanctions. They said, holy smokes, that's Donald Trump Jr. And they asked Donald Trump Jr., why are you talking to the Russians? You know what he said? And you remember this. We're talking about adoptions. You know, how we can have more adoptions of Russian kids. It's a flat out lie. Does this guy get prosecuted for obstruction and lying to the FBI, the CIA? No. He does not. So on those facts, they go to the jury. And Sussman's lawyer gets up and he says, look, first of all, the FBI knew that Michael Sussman represented Hillary Clinton's campaign, among other clients. He didn't try to hide that. And the fact that they didn't discuss it, it's up to the FBI. If they wanted to say, did this come from Hillary Clinton or whatever, they could have done that too. Doesn't matter. It's either true or not true. That's number one. So it's not relevant or material. Number two, this is nothing more than John Durham doing Crooked William Barr's work in ginning up another conspiracy that somehow Russia had nothing to do with the 2016 election. We're tired of conspiracies. And you know something? The jury didn't take a long time. They were out 6 hours. First of all, they have to, usually they're out at least a day. They have to elect a foreman. Then they have to go through all the evidence and all the witnesses and that kind of thing. And they came to a snap decision, which is this is a joke, and they acquitted Michael Sussman. Now, if you read the Wall Street Journal, I read the Wall Street Journal as well as the New York Times, as well as the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel every day. You're informed if you know both sides. That's why there are people calling into this show who are on the other side. I want to hear all points of view. But the Wall Street Journal has just mercilessly taken up the cause of Barr and Durham, saying that there's something wrong with Sussman and something wrong with the Russia thing. And in fact, Trump was Lily White on Russia. That is baloney. That is baloney. Russia hacked into and interfered with our 2016 election because the Republican majority in the Senate, the committee that investigated it, found that. I'm not just saying that. The Republicans found that. This business of trying to throw sand in people's eyes, especially on social media, saying, oh, well, there was obviously a problem with it. No, there was no problem at all. And the proof of the pudding's in the eating, and the proof of the pudding is Michael Sussman got acquitted. And this John Durham goes on like Gableman. He gets paid a lot of money to sniff around and try to claim that Trump had nothing to do with Russia. They're wasting our money. It's time, Biden, Garland, get rid of this guy. Get rid of this hack. Going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. One terrific little side note, going to Waukesha, Robin Voss, the gerrymandered, illegitimate speaker of the assembly, has a primary opponent, a guy named Adam Steen, Adam Steen, a primary opponent. And the word is that Robin Voss is out doing doors. He hasn't done doors in a long time. He's doing doors 20 hours a week. I always like doing doors. It's fun. You knock on the voter's door and you talk to them about issues, and you can get a good feel for what's bothering people, and you can also get a good feel for how you're doing by the reaction to you. Anyway, Robin Voss is above all that. Hasn't done that in a long time, but now he is running hard and running scared, but not in a good way. It's not like the Democrat is liable to bump him off. It's a gerrymandered district. But this guy, Adam Steen, is one of these far-right Republicans. You may think Robin Voss is far-right, and he is. And he has run a gerrymandered legislature that has slowly and systematically undone and weakened the University of Wisconsin system, public education, the DNR, environmental regulation. We have forever chemicals, and now I think probably almost half the counties of the state. These are carcinogens, and they're not regulated. They're not regulated by the federal government, and Voss has interfered with their being regulated by the state. So this guy is no good, and he's got to get out. But is it possible that you can get a right-wing guy that is so bad that he's a caricature? And the answer is yes, Adam Steen. Adam Steen, Steen, S-T-E-E-N, said the following, quote, "Donald Trump is the best thing to happen to the United States since the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Now, hey, yes, Steen, all right, this, we're not talking, if I made a kappa here, okay, I mean, but so what? Steen, have you heard of George Washington? You think Trump is better than George Washington? Have you heard of Abraham Lincoln? Have you heard of Franklin Roosevelt? Have you heard of victory in World War II? Have you heard of victory in the Civil War and binding up the nation's wounds? Have you heard about eliminating slavery? This is the clown that said Donald Trump is the best thing to happen in the U.S. since 1776. What an idiot. Then he attacks Voss, and this is strange because I don't want either one of them in the assembly. I really don't. But he attacks Voss. He calls him, quote, a treasonous traitor. Now, you know, Voss was booed at the Republican convention, and he was called a rhino, Republican in name only, which is unbelievable to me, since he's emblematic of the Republican Party, which is this corrupt gerrymander. But in any event, called a rhino. And then all four Republican candidates, including the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish, whom he supported and supports, turn on him like dogs. Get him out. We don't want the establishment Republican Party. He's a rhino. You know, you got to love politics. Actually, you don't got to love politics, but I mean, if you're at all interested in it, it's unbelievable. This is what's going on in his district. So he's out there doing doors going, I'm not a rhino. Well, did they boo you? Well, yes. Sir. I don't know. I think somebody was coughing. They were just coughing. Well, no, I heard it on TV. They booed you. They called you a rhino. This Adam Steen called you a treasonous traitor. You know, this business of hyperbole is fine. I mean, hyperbole is a rhetorical device. But try to get away from things like treasonous traitor, because, you know, what's the opposite? Patriotic traitor or only slightly treasonous traitor? If you're a traitor, you're a traitor. This business of loading on adjectives, and Steen may not know it's an adjective, but it is, and that is a treasonous traitor. You know, this is the level of representation we get from the Republican Party. That is why in a lot of the counties in the state, you're drinking carcinogens right now in the state that had the purest water in the nation. That is why our universities in the state, our public universities, are being starved and stripped down to the point that they're losing their reputations as among the greatest universities in the world. And that is why Robin Voss is doing doors 20 hours a week so he can stay on to do his bad work. And he's running against a character, a clown, who would do a worse job? I'm not sure. You know, this guy, Tim Ramthan up in Campbellsport, sounds a lot like Adam Steen. And at some point, if you have a guy who's a caricature, who's absolutely so far out to lunch that everybody laughs at him, that can be the undoing of a party quicker than having somebody in a serpentine fashion try to sound reasonable, but stick the knife into the DNR, the University of Wisconsin, stick the knife into fair maps, stick the knife into everything. And stand by. I don't expect Adam Steen to win. I mean, Adam Steen, whoever heard of Adam Steen? I never heard of Adam Steen before in my life. But I will say, a guy that says that Donald Trump is the best thing that happened in the United States since 1776, the guy, I don't know if he took any high school history or not, but you know, this is a very, very sad situation that this is what the Republican Party has come down to. In Ukraine, I think some good news out of Biden. We are giving them much more advanced weapons than we had. We're giving them missiles, guided missiles, multi-rocket launchers that can launch missiles for 50 miles. Up till now, we'd only given them launches that could go 25 miles. And prior to that, we only gave them javelins where they had to, and stingers. They had to home in on the aircraft or the tank and get real close. But we have missiles, multiple guided missile launchers, MLRs. They're multiple launch rocket systems. They're under consideration. They go 300 miles. Now, 300 miles is almost Kenosha to Superior. And they're guided. Give them to them. Give them to them immediately. The reason the Ruskies are trying to consolidate in the Donbass in the east is because the Ukrainians have to get within less than 25 miles to take them out, and the Russians have more troops. Give them to them. Now, the reason that we have not given them to them is because Biden does not want them launching them into Russia, obviously. You don't want them launching towards Moscow. Now, Moscow is 1,000 miles from Ukraine, but there are a lot of other cities that are within 300 miles. So, you know, you got to be careful in that respect. On the other hand, the Russians are launching these missiles that destroy every building in a city and kill 10,000 civilians, committing war crimes and genocide from sites in Russia over the border. We got to give them these heavier weapons, in my view. Putin has got to be stopped. And let me tell you something. He's going all in this respect. He has a new strategy, which is take over the Donbass, which is part of eastern Ukraine, and sit there like a spider. Sit there like a poisonous spider that he is. And just sit there and wait 6 months, a year, till Germany and France get very tired and start giving him whatever he wants. And then he'll go into Kyiv again. You cannot negotiate with Hitler. You just can't. And the fact is that this guy's got to be taken out. He's got to be euthanized. He's got to be taken down like an animal. But it's got to be done by the Russian people. In the meantime, we have got to get the weapons to Ukraine that they need to hammer these people back. They're very brave people, because if Ukraine falls, they've now claimed that they will try Zelensky as a war criminal. A war criminal for what? Defending his own country? This is a malignant, this is a post-communist organized crime country, and it's got to be stopped. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.